The following is a message from Pastor Jeff Mann. For more information about James River Church, please visit us at jamesriverchurch.com.
Today, I'm going to continue the series I've been in, Understanding Eternity. Last week, I talked about paradise. Remember that? The New Jerusalem. And Zach, Zach was in all-star mode last week. He was pulling up pictures of like the New Jerusalem stones as I spoke on the internet and displaying them for you to see. That was good. So we talked about that last week. Jesus, what's the word he used to describe heaven? Yeah, good job. You remembered. Good job. So this is going to be paradise part two, because believe it or not, as wonderful as that was only part of the picture of paradise. When Jesus is finished doing what he's going to do, paradise is going to be even bigger than just that one city, the New Jerusalem, which is humongous. And you and I are going to be intricately right in the middle of everything that he's doing. So I want to talk about paradise part two today, the rest of the story, heaven coming to earth. I'm going to draw a picture. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. I'm going to do my best. Let me get over here. I'm not a teacher. I'm going to draw a timeline, and I'm going to just talk to you about God's original plan. And we're trying to talk about understanding eternity, but I want to give you just an overview of God's plan for human beings, for the earth, for heaven, all that stuff. And so here we go. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, heaven and earth, I'll just put them as a big blob together. The heavenly realm and the earthly realm were one, okay? And so you had the Garden of Eden, right? In the beginning, heaven and earth were one, and it's God's original plan is he created the earth. I'm going to draw a picture of this. That's the earth. I'm pretty good, aren't I? Okay. Now, this is in the Middle East somewhere. This is the Garden of Eden. So God created human beings, and he put them where? In the Garden of Eden, which was an actual piece of real estate on the earth that was, you know, somewhere probably over by Israel or on top of it right in there. And he put Adam and Eve there. There were only two human beings. You know, he created Adam first and then he created Eve, right? And then he gave them a mandate in Genesis 1. God said to them, he said to himself, actually, let us make man, human beings, in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion. So what he does is he created the whole earth and he's like, I'm going to give you governing authority over this planet. This is your responsibility. And you're going to be the decision makers here. You're going to govern and take care of this thing. And the thing is he created human beings to have an intimate, close relationship with God. And he created us in his likeness so that as we walked with him, we had wisdom and we had his heart to be able to govern things according to his plan. And so he put human beings in charge of the planet. And Eden was a paradise. There's that word again. Eden was a glorious paradise. It was a garden that was beautiful and it was cultivated by human beings. And he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground, even the creepy things we have authority over. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, bring it under my leadership, under my dominion, according to my plans. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here's the deal. God's original plan was the heavenly realm and the earthly realm were together. So right now they're separated, right? There's angels in this room, I bet, right now. We just can't see them with our natural eye. But before the fall, Adam and Eve could see them, right? And God, he walked with them. Literally, he would come and walk with them. And the tree of life, which is now in the New Jerusalem, we just read about it next week, right? Right? But it was, it was right there. They could just reach out and grab it and eat of it, etc. Okay? So God's plan was he created heaven and earth to be one. So the heavenly realm and the earthly realm to be manifest openly together. Human beings were able to have a relationship with God and live on this physical earth, walk on green grass, see, pick up dirt, put their hair in water, drink it, eat fruit off of a tree, look at the animals right there, and at the same time, interact with God face to face. Okay? So the heavenly realm, the earthly realm were one. We lived in perfect relationship with God, unbroken. But at that time, at first there was just two of them. So he says, he gave him a garden to manage. And he says, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to have kids, right? And you're going to keep, and they're going to have kids. And there's going to be more human beings. And as that happens, my plan is that you guys are going to, as there's enough human beings to handle it, you're going to spread out. And you're going to bring the whole earth under my leadership so that Eden is not just a little piece of real estate in the Middle East. The whole earth becomes filled with the glory of the Lord. Is this making sense? Okay. So that was this thing. As human beings, we're going to spread out. And in the end, what would happen is God and human beings would live together on the earth, and that there would be nations all over the earth that of people that worship Jesus, that glorified him, and every part of the planet would be beautiful and according to his will. That's his original plan. That's a good plan, isn't it? Okay, so heaven and earth were one in the beginning, but then something happened. I'll put here beginning. Then the fall happened, right? The fall, so heaven and earth were one, they were together until the fall. And the fall was Satan came, he had rebelled against God, and he came to the human beings who were on the earth who had governing authority over the planet, and he enticed them to join him in his rebellion against the Lord. Okay? As soon as they did that, the whole earth came under a curse, okay? And actually, if you remember in Genesis, they were kicked out of the Eden. Remember that? They were kicked out of Eden, and somehow there was like some kind of veil that came where all of a sudden they didn't have access anymore to the tree of life and et cetera. And there was even an angel placed there, right? I think it was a flaming sword or something like that to keep them out. So what happened is this, is the heavenly realm and the earthly realm were separated. Here's the heavenly realm. That's the earthly realm, okay? The earthly realm's under a curse. The heavenly realm and the earthly realm were separated, and God immediately set his restoration plan into place. That's important to know. Because it wasn't like, the devil won. The devil won. God's original plan is busted. It's not going to happen now. God's like, it's going to happen. It's totally going to happen. I'm just going to take a little detour, but we'll get it back to where I had it going originally. I'm going to fulfill my original plan. And so what happened is they were separated, the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. And there's a lot more things I could write on this timeline. Time goes on here. And then there's a point in the future, a lot of restoration plan is happening in here, right? God reveals himself to Abraham and he finds a man who he makes a covenant with. And then the 12 tribes of Israel, right, came out of that, and he gives them the law, and he creates the throne, the governing throne that he's going to rule from when he comes back, and he sets the process of redemption. He prophesies the Messiah coming. Then Jesus comes somewhere in here. He dies on the cross. He forgives our sins. He rises from the dead. But there's a point in the future where Jesus is going to return. When Jesus returns, what happens is the earth at that point goes into a 1,000-year transition period, okay? Where, and what happens is the heavenly realm and the earthly realm are coming together. They're not totally together yet, because during this 1,000-year transition period, God's taking it back to this, okay? Once Jesus comes, he's setting that into motion. And it's not totally together yet, but it's on its way as the 1,000-year transition period progresses. And then there comes another point. I'll draw it right here. I'm not a good drawer, am I? Okay. Jesus returns, and this is the final judgment. The final judgment. And then, and the New Jerusalem, that's not New Jersey, New Jerusalem descends. We're going to read that in a second. To the earth, it comes out. The heavenly realm, the veil is removed completely at that point. It's removed partially more and more as this 1,000 years progresses. And but there, at this point, whew, the veil is fully removed. The new Jerusalem descends to the earth again. And, somewhere over here. And heaven and earth come together again. And the timeline goes on for eternity. So during this 1,000-year transition period, guess who's helping Jesus as he goes about restoring the planet and restoring the nations and all that kind of stuff? Guess who's ruling and reigning with him, helping him do all that? Yeah, you and I, right? The saints, those who love and obeyed him and followed him and got saved during this time period over here. We're ruling and reigning with him. And then, of course, we rule and reign with him forever. You know what I mean? On the earth. His plan is completed. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, and God will live on the earth openly. I'm not just talking about invisibly where you feel his presence and have visions. I love that, right? I mean, that's what we do now. We don't see God physically for the most part right now, right? But we encounter him, and it's real. His spirit lives inside of us. He speaks to us through his word and through dreams and visions and, you know, impressions and different things like this. We have a real relationship with him, but a point is coming. His real desire, he says, I'm going to live on the earth physically with you, and the whole earth is going to look upon me like eye to eye, like in the flesh, and they're going to see God and worship him. In spirit, everything's going to be openly manifest, the heavenly realm, right? And here's the good thing. All demons and Satan himself and all the wicked people who are in the rebellion are no longer on the planet at this point, okay? They're all gone. So guess who's left? Only people who love Jesus and know Jesus and are full of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we love each other and we whole earth, not just a city called the New Jerusalem. The city descends to the earth and the two become one again. And all of a sudden, paradise isn't just describing a giant city called the New Jerusalem that we looked at last week. But paradise will actually refer to the whole empire of Jesus, which encompasses the New Jerusalem and the entire planet and the universe. Does that make sense? Yeah. Some of you are saying, yeah, talked about this before, so you guys are probably tuning out. But anyway, I wanted to review that because what I want to talk about today is when you talk about understanding eternity, you have to have the earth in mind. So many people, when they think about the kingdom of God, you know, they think in terms of clouds and, you know, spirits and things like that, but they don't think about things like earth and human and people and nations and governments, like governmental meetings even, where they're planning strategies for building up infrastructure in a city and zoning regulations. You know, I don't know how that, but all that stuff, nation building is going to be happening. You can talk about in Isaiah 58, God prophesies over his people. He's like, you know, you will be, I'm going to not get an exact quote, but you will be restorers of streets with dwellings. You know, you will repair and build up the broken walls of the cities and things like that. And it's like, that's what we're going to be doing during this period. And so I want you to think of the future. When you think of eternity, don't just think of yourself off somewhere. God's ultimate plan is not just to, you know, I created this earth. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to live there with people. We're going to see each other. We're going to interact. They're going to love me. I already love them. And, you know, we're going to build this beautiful thing together all over the earth. We're going to have Eden manifest over the whole planet. And who knows where it goes from there? I mean, we got a whole universe to explore forever, you know? And he's like, man, this is going to be so good. But oh, I didn't see it coming. The devil got them to rebel against me. Oh no, the thing's trash now. Look what they did to my planet. I gave them authority and they just took their authority and destroyed everything and made it defiled. What am I going to do? You know, I'll just try and save as many people, salvage what I can from this mess, and then I'll burn the whole thing up, get rid of all of it, just whisk them away to be with me in heaven and say, I'm glad that mess was over with. Wash my hands of the whole thing. Mental note, that was a mistake. Don't try and do that again. Okay? That is not in any way, shape, or form what's going on. What Jesus is doing, he's like, are you kidding? The devil didn't win here. He says, I'm going to do what I set out to do. And, you know, the devil's not big enough. And, you know, as valuable and important as people are, you're not big enough to mess God's plan up. He had a dream that existed before you did. Before Adam and Eve existed, he had a dream. He says, I want to create these people that and create them with the capacity to relate to me at a deep way as sons and daughters. And I'm going to live with them on the earth forever. It's going to be awesome. And he had this dream and he's going to fulfill that dream. It's absolute. There's nothing that can stop it. Praise God. So when you think of the future, see yourself, you know, obviously somebody dies now. Where do they go? Paradise, right? They're not on the earth anymore, right? But guess what? When Jesus comes back, who comes with him? Yeah. Jesus is the firstborn among the dead, right? He's the firstborn among the dead. He's the first fruits of resurrection. So in other words, what Jesus is going through is a picture of what all of us go through who follow him, right? So what does Jesus do? He dies. Right? And then what happens? He gets resurrected. And where is he? Is he on the earth right now? No, he's not. He's at the right hand of the Father, right? In heaven, the throne room. He's at the right hand of the Father. But what is he going to do? He's going to come back. In his physical body, a resurrected body, he's going to come back. He didn't look like an alien in his resurrected body. He wasn't like, who is that? You know, kind of looks like this object. I don't know what that is. Jesus is like, it's me. Wow. I had no idea. You look so different. Not at all. It's, you know, he had the ability actually to hide his identity in his physical body, but people saw him. They knew he was human. They just didn't get it was him immediately until he somehow revealed himself. And then they're like, it's you. Woohoo. You're alive. Right? Because that's the same thing. When we die, we go to heaven to be with the Lord, right? The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and he's up in heaven, right? So we go to paradise to be with him. Today, you will be with me in paradise, is what he told the thief on the cross. But when Jesus comes back, we come back with him. And it looks to me like we get horses. I mean, it just looks like that. Of course, we know he has the cool horse. Shadowfax is his horse. The Lord of all horses for you, Lord of the Rings fans. No, but he has the ultimate horse maybe, but we have cool horses and we're riding within the armies of heaven. Guess who's in that army besides, you know, like you and me and all the saints who have died. Guess who else is there? Kick angels. How would you like to ride out with that army? Oh. Yeah. Thinking of something silly right now, but we got to have some sweet intro music is what I'm thinking. Like when that procession, there's got to be blaring from heaven, like some sweet song. I don't know. It's going to be great, but I know this, it's going to be so amazing. That procession, that army, as we come back to be with the Lord, the whole earth sees it. It's not like nobody knows what's going on. Even the enemies of God who are entrenched in their worship of Satan and their rebellion against him, they're mourning in fear and terror because they're like, we're dead. We're dead. Look at that army. We are goners. You know what I mean? As we Jesus comes back in flaming fire, it's going to be amazing. And then we're going to set up his government over all the earth. That's what we're going to do. And then Jesus is going to reign forever. And even after the final judgment, we're going to live with him on the earth forever. The new Jerusalem will be here. Heaven's coming to earth, right? That's the picture of your future. Do you guys get that? Do you guys see that? And so how many of you like the earth? Me too. I love it. You know why you like it? You were born and created to govern it. You know, nobody likes the idea of being a disembodied spirit floating around. You want to know why? Because you weren't created for that kind of existence. Human beings from the beginning were created to have a physical body. In fact, the relationship between our spirit, our soul, and the body is so intertwined. This is interesting, you know. It's interesting. It doesn't say in Genesis that God created the human spirit and then formed a body to put it into. You know what he did? He first formed a body and then he breathed into it a life and it became a life-giving spirit. Isn't that interesting? But you know, my point is we were created to love days like this, to like blue skies and to enjoy the sound of birds singing, to enjoy the sound of a brook as you just listen and the waters run over the rocks. I love listening to that. To look out at a pasture of green grass and just want to go running in the midst of it. You know, to look at a majestic mountain peaks and stand in awe of the glory and the might of our God who creates those things. It's awesome to stand. I used to, when I lived in Hawaii, I would never surf these waves, but every once in a while in the wintertime, they'd get those 30, 40 foot waves that would come on the North Shore. I remember one time we went there. There's no way I'd go in that water. I mean, that's like a death sentence, but I'd stand the sound. You need to hear the sound of that. I mean, standing on the sand, looking at these towering waves come up. I wasn't even a believer then, but I was in awe. And then the sound, it is so loud. It's like, and it's like, wow. You know, I love this earth. I love this planet. And you know what? I don't feel ashamed of that. That's not, my love for the earth isn't in competition with my love for the kingdom of God. This earth was created to be part of the kingdom of God. It's an expression of God's reign, okay? He created us to govern this very planet. The earth is not evil, that he has to get rid of it because heaven's good and the earth is bad. In the beginning, heaven's good, earth is good. He looked at his creation and what did he say after he was done with it? It is good, all of it. I mean, I like it all. I like the animals, I like the people I made. I like everything about it, it's good. The only way it became bad is when the caretakers of the earth decided to turn our authority and hand it over to the devil and let him run the thing. And it became what it is today, right? But how many of you know, even as the earth gets more corrupt, God is raising up a bride that's going to lead it. And there's going to be a great transition at this point. And all the corruption is going to be physically removed. And guess what? He's going to put the righteous people who love him, who even are loving their lives unto death right now. He's going to put us in those leadership positions and we're going to lead it according to his will. And we're going to have that. This is what's going to end up happening. Okay. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. Listen to this scripture. Do I have this on your notes? Do I? Ah, bummer. I wish I did. I ran out of room on your notes, so I had to cut some scriptures out. Okay, let me just read it to you. You may want to make a note to look this up. This is a key verse for what God is doing with the earth and heaven and everything else. And he made known to us the mystery of his will. So God's mysterious will, what in the world are you up to? He's like, I made it known to you according to his good pleasure. He's like, I'm happy about my will. I'm excited about my plans for the earth and heaven and human beings. Like when God thinks about it, he gets really excited. So like my family and I, when we love vacations, it's one of our big things. So almost like every week almost, there's usually multiple meals where the topic of conversation is our next vacation or one that we someday want to take. And what we do is we think about our plans and we talk about the places we're going to see and the things we're going to do, you know. And Autumn's like, we're going to France in the next vacation, one of the places. And she's like, Abby, you know, we're going to get to look at the Eiffel Tower. And Abby's like, yeah, with a Danish in my hand. Like, that's my girl. I'll be right there with you with my own Danish and cappuccino. Looking at the Eiffel Tower. Sounds good. But you know, when we think about our plans for these things, we get excited. It's fun to think about. We have this sense of anticipation of a good experience. It's like when the Lord thinks about his plans for heaven and earth coming together as one, fulfilling his original intention, he gets excited. There's this sense of happy, joyful anticipation that the Lord has. And guess what? He says here, I want to make known to you the mystery of my will. Because I want you, when I let you in on my plans and you think about them, I want us together to sit around and have these conversations where you share in the happy anticipation that I feel. Because this is not something that I'm going to send you off to do. You and me, God and us, this is something we're going to experience together. It's a family thing. And he says, His will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. So right now, earth doesn't look, you know, it's a shadow of heaven right now because it's under a curse. It's a shadow, a pale shadow of its former glory, okay, that God created it to be in. And so, but there is a time when Jesus comes back, when that restoration process kicks in full force. And even now, you know, that plan is kicking in. I mean, he's training his leaders right now. I'm going to go on a tangent. But this came to me like a couple years ago. I was reading the book of Acts in chapter 1. Jesus is about to ascend back into heaven. And his disciples, you know what they ask him? They said, Lord, are you at this time, like right now in Acts 1? Are you going to, bring the kingdom? In other words, are you going to take your seat as the Messiah and govern all the nations? Are you going to do it right now? And the Lord essentially answers them by dodging their questions. You know, he's basically like, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. There are specific times and specific seasons that have to kick in. And we could go, I've done studies on that before. In order for that to happen, he says, but in the meantime, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will be my witnesses. You'll have power to all the nations. That's what you need to be about doing right now. But what's interesting to me is like, Lord, why didn't you do it? I mean, you already did the hard part. You came, you died on the cross and you rose again. Why didn't you just take your governing seat as the king of Israel right then, overthrow the Roman Empire and begin setting up your kingdom? Why didn't you do it right then? And here's a thought that came to me. I think it was inspired. You be the judge. How many disciples did he have at that point? Yeah. Well, we know in the upper room, there were 120. Plus he had Old Testament saints, right? They're already up there in heaven. They're like, good. We were looking forward that he would redeem us by faith. Now it's done. It happened. Yeah, this thing is cashed in, guaranteed for sure now. They're excited. So honestly, when Jesus comes back, he's coming to rule all the nations. Can I tell you, it takes a lot of manpower. It takes a lot of leaders to run all the nations and, you know, the cities and the all the little things that happen in a city, all the leadership posts, right? And so the thought that came to me, I was like, man, of course there's times and seasons, but he's like, man, I got to train my workforce. I got to get together. There's other things he's doing too. But throughout this age that we're living in right now, the saints where we get born again, and then we live for Christ and we're tested and our loyalty and our devotion and to him and our love for the kingdom of God is tested because we're constantly given a choice to love the world or love the kingdom, right? And we have to choose, and our hearts are tested. And you know what he's doing? He's training the bride of Christ for reigning, is what he's doing. And so I'm thinking, you know, if he does it right then, he's got a few people, you know, but there's a lot of leadership positions to fill. And now he's got a lot more people for those leadership positions. That's part of my thought. That was a tangent. I'm going to get back to my notes. Are you ready? Let's read Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And this describes this moment right here. Okay? Revelation on the timeline, this scripture we're about to read, is not taking place in here. It's taking place at the end of the 1,000-year transition period after the final judgment. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, which we talked about last week, right? Coming down out of heaven from God. So it's like the veil is being removed. The city is descending out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now, everybody say now. Listen, now, at this moment, now the dwelling of God is with men. Back to this. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. That's like physically with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. Like, now, there is death a little bit in the 1,000-year transition period. It's significantly diminished. Life is restored and a lot longer, but there's still death happening here. But once we get to this point, okay, death, it's in the history books from that point on, is nothing that we experience ever again, okay? It says there'll be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, I love statements like this. He's like, write this down. He's like, I'm going on the record with this. You can write it in the book and officially make it scripture. I'm going on the record. Tell everybody, I will do this. It says, write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is going to happen. The devil can't stop it. Rebellious human beings can't stop it. All the tiny little wimpy nations can get their little nuclear weapons and gather together and conspire against the Lord and rebellion against God, and they're not going to stop it. Psalm 2, the Lord laughs and scoffs at that. He's like, are you kidding? I'm building something so beautiful. And here's the message to the whole human race. You know, the rebellion is pointless. It is doomed to end. It's an exercise in futility. I'm building this. I am going to live here with human beings. I'm building something beautiful, the kingdom of God, the whole earth. And here's the message of Jesus. Repent. Why? The kingdom of God is at hand. I'm building something so beautiful. I want you to be a part of it. Would you like to be a part of it? Yeah. Here's the problem. Right now, you're in the rebellion. And that they're not going to be in my kingdom. So repent of the rebellion. I've made provision for your sins to be forgiven and your rebellious nature to be completely transformed. How many of you know 2 Corinthians 5:17? If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation. The old is... and the new has come, new creation. To me, that's a picture also of the earth that's under a curse. When he talks about the old order of things have passed away, in the same way, you're still the same person when you get born again, right? I mean, when Winter got born again, she was still Winter. She was a new creation, you know, but she was... still her, right? She was significantly transformed. And as she's walked with Christ, her personality and the way she thinks, and it just becomes conformed more and more to be like Jesus, right? But she's still the same person she was before. She's just transformed. Does that make sense? She's blessed and no longer under the curse, right? It's like the earth is going to be totally transformed, but it's going to be the same planet. So I'm going to give you, I'm just going to give you some of these things, okay? I'm not going to get through all my notes, I can tell today. But I'm going to give you some of these things and we'll see how much I get through. I just listed here 8 marks of Jesus' reign on the earth. So we talked last week about the New Jerusalem or heaven, right? And this week we're going to go into study what the earth is going to be like when Jesus' leadership is fully manifested in every nook and cranny of the planet. Okay, this is what it's going to look like. First of all, righteousness and wisdom. The righteousness and wisdom of God will fill the earth and will be seen in governments. There will be local governments. There will be, you know, larger governments and, you know, bigger areas like there is today. The government will continue forever. And you can see that in Isaiah chapter 9. The good news is right now, the governments are mostly, not completely, but mostly under the leadership of people who are being led by demons, some intentionally, some they're oblivious to what's really happening, but led by demons nonetheless. Does that make sense? But when Jesus comes, the governments are going to be in place. Government is not bad. Government is good. The kingdom of God is a government, right? God is a king. He has an office in the government, the highest office. But here's the deal. All the governments are going to be led and with people who love Jesus, are devoted to the word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to build it according to his wisdom and according to his righteousness. How many of you know the proverb says, when the righteous rule, the people what? Rejoice. That's right. Guess what? I got good news. The righteous are going to rule. Everywhere. Everywhere. The righteous are going to rule. You know what's interesting to me? I mean, just think about this. Jesus is, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? He's the Messiah. He's going to rule everything. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He's standing before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate looks at him arrogantly. He says, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or set you free? And you know what Jesus says to him? He says, you only have power because it's been given to you from above. I'm imagining, and then he says, somewhere in there, he says, and you will see the Son of Man coming in his glory. He talks about, he was either to the Pharisees or to Pilate. But what's interesting to me is here he is, the guy who has all authority and the guy who thinks he's powerful. Saying, don't you know I could kill you or set you free? And Jesus is like, I'm just imagining, he's like, you have no idea who you're talking to. Right now you stand in judgment of me, but there's a reversal coming. There's a day coming. I'm going to stand in judgment over you. Now, we know that about Jesus, but guess what? In prisons across the world right now, believers are there being tortured by persecutors, people who think they have power. They be like, deny Christ, da 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 da. And what they don't know is the very people that they're tormenting are going to rule one day. Us. We're going to reign with him. So there's a great reversal happening. How many of you know, treat them nice because one day they're going to be an authority over you. And of course, they'll be meek and humble, right? And so they won't be filled with vengeance. Jesus will take care of the justice aspect, which is why we can have compassion on them and say, please repent and have mercy. You think I have it bad right now. It's going to be horrible for you if you don't repent. We're talking a lake of fire, right? Like, please, I have compassion on you. Repent. He'll forgive you. You can be a part of his kingdom. Suffer a little bit with me. It's only a little while, but then the resurrection and we'll live forever and reign with him. It'll be great. Get on the winning team while there's still a chance. So his righteousness and wisdom will fill the earth. It will fill the governments, the school systems. His wisdom and righteousness will fill family life. There'll be families. You know that? We're going to read pictures where he talks about families, how each family will have their own home. And there'll be children. He actually talks about babies. Now the saints won't be making those. The resurrected saints. but that's a bigger subject. But just know there's going to be families. Architecture, health industries, judicial systems, because anyway, businesses. I can't go into all those details. I'm saying is like there'll be life, real life on earth, and his wisdom and righteousness will fill every system. Peace, security, harmony in all creation. Is number two, second mark of his reign. Fear will be eliminated from the earth as hostility is completely removed. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to skip my points. I'm just going to read some of the scriptures because I think they're better. And I don't have that much time left, so I'm just going to get to some of these. And those ones aren't on your sheet. Isaiah chapter 9. These are prophecies about Jesus' reign on the earth. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Who is this talking about? Yeah, it's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, who's going to be born and reign as king over all the earth, as the king of Israel. It says here, and the government will be on his shoulders, will be his responsibility. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. Wouldn't it be nice to have a guy reigning over us who's called Wonderful Counselor? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, is a father's heart. Wouldn't that be amazing? And Prince of Peace. And oh, I love this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on where? Where is that? What nation was King David king over? Israel. So Jesus, if he's reigning on David's throne, he's going to be the king of Israel, right? And then as the king of Israel, all nations will come under and submit to his rule, okay? Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. There's no end to it. Now, here's one of those statements again. He says these things, and then he says, listen, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Just bank on it. Nothing's going to stop me. I have my mind set, is what the Lord says. This is what I'm doing. I want you to be with me. I created you to be with me in this and to be part of this. You were made for this. Would you like to lead the rebellion and join me? And let's do this together because this is what I'm doing. The only other option, if you don't join me, you're part of the rebellion and I'm getting rid of the rebellion because rebellion doesn't make heaven. I joked about this last week, you know what? Just imagine in heaven, you know, don't go in that neighborhood in heaven because that's a bad neighborhood. That's the wrong side of the tracks if you go over there. You know, be careful. They have bulletproof glass in the windows in that section of heaven. It wouldn't be heaven, would it? No. He's like, there's not going to be any of the violence and the hatred and the selfishness, and it's going to be removed. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 11. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord, it's talking about Jesus the Messiah reigning on David's throne. He's actually a descendant of King David in the natural. And this is the anointing for leadership that will be upon Jesus as he leads the nations. The Spirit of wisdom will be upon him. The Spirit of, wouldn't it be nice to have leaders who rule with a spirit of wisdom? That'd be awesome. The Spirit of understanding. Like, he's going to understand the nature of things and what needs to be done to bring forth his will in every situation. He's not going to make blunders like, oh, I totally misinterpreted this situation that was happening between these two countries. And the thing I did was stupid because I misunderstood the nature of the problem. He's like, no, I understand exactly what's going on. This is exactly what needs to be done. It's going to fix it. That makes sense? So he's going to have the spirit of understanding. He's going to have the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. Now, let's talk about Jesus. He will delight in obeying God, which he is God, but he's submitted to his Father, etc. He will never judge by appearance, false evidence, or hearsay. So you're never going to have a case where the guy gets the death penalty and he was, you know, oops, he wasn't really guilty. And DNA test 30 years later to say, oh, it was this other guy who did it. Sorry. That's never going to happen because he's going to have all information. He's going to know exactly, and he's going to have make righteous judgments 100% of the time. He will defend the poor and the exploited. There'll be no injustice and corruption that will prosper when he's reigning. He will rule against the wicked and destroy them with the breath of his mouth. He will be clothed with fairness and truth. And in that day, this is the effect of the way Jesus reigns. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard and the goat will be at peace. Calves and yearlings will be safe among lions, and a little child will lead them all. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. I love that picture of paradise. So you have animals that normally eat each other, right? I mean, when a wolf comes into a field where the lambs are, right? The lambs aren't at peace. I mean, they're agitated. They're stirred up because they're like, one of us is about to be eaten, right? This is not good. There's hostility between them. But the Lord's like, even the curse that's on the animal kingdom right now is going to be lifted. And the hostility, even between different animals, is going to be totally removed. And the hostility between humans and animals will be removed. Because a little child will lead them all. You know, I just think of like, let's get this picture of like, some little kid, 3, 4 years old, whatever, having like a rope, you know, with a little leash, and he's having a play day. And he's got tied around the neck of a lion, around the neck of a wolf, with a lamb and a leopard, and they're all in a big long line, and the kid's playing and just leading them around, you know, and they're just complying, you know, they're just like my dog, you know, this loves to play with the kids. Like, okay, I'll play. Yeah, I'll follow you around, whatever it is. I mean, they'll be tamed. Isn't that amazing? So then the cattle will graze among bears. Cubs and calves will lie down together. And lions will eat grass as the livestock do. That's why the lambs can feel at peace, because they don't eat lambs anymore. They eat grass, right? They graze on grass. Babies will crawl safely among poisonous snakes. Yes, a little child will put its... That'll make Malachi happy right there. It's like, I can play with cobras and black mambas and have no fear of any... And that'll give me peace as a parent. Like, just have fun, buddy. You know, play with the black mamba nest. God bless you. Me and your mama will be kicking back in the river of life, sipping on this piece of fruit. Okay, so a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes and pull it out unharmed. Nothing will hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. And as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. In that day, the heir to David's throne, that's Jesus, he will be a banner of salvation to all the world, and the nations will rally to him. That'd be awesome. Talk about opposite day. I mean, you look right now, the nations are not rallying to Jesus. They're rallying against him, right? That's what we see happening right now. But that day comes, they're all going to be like, Jesus, we love you. Teach us your ways. Jesus, we worship you. You saved us. We could be in the lake of fire right now. God, help us to honor you. How do you think we should do this thing so it would bring you glory and bring blessing to the people that we're serving with you? I mean, that's going to be awesome. And then it even says in Micah 4, it gives a picture of this. It says, in the last days, the temple of the Lord, where is it going to be? Okay, just all this stuff going on with Jerusalem right now is spiritual warfare. Jesus says, that's going to be my capital on the new earth. And the devil's like, I'm going to prevent you from taking Jerusalem. I'm going to get rid of Israel. Because the prophecies say that you can't come back, that when you do, you're going to do it as the king of the nation of Israel. So if I can get rid of the government of Israel so that doesn't exist, there's no seat for you to occupy. And so all of a sudden there's this anti-Semitism and the nations are rallying against Israel. Why? It's demonic. It's completely demonic. It's the devil declaring war against God's purpose. But God's like, guess what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to set my throne in Zion. Psalm 2. I'm going to do it right there. And the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, listen to this, it will become the most important place on earth. people from all over the world will go there to worship. You know, we like going to IHOP, right? Or Bethel, you know, these revival hot centers. You're like, hey, let's go encounter the Lord. There's kind of an open heaven in this place. And let's just go and sit under that waterfall for a little bit and get refreshed, right? I mean, we're talking, do you know what Jerusalem will be? Talk about a portal. I mean, open, like heaven and earth, no separation. The nations are going to rally. They're going to actually pilgrimage. They're going to go to Jerusalem to see the capital complex of the king. We're talking Solomon had nothing on what Jesus is going to have in Jerusalem. I mean, you read about Solomon's splendor in the Old Testament, right? Where silver is just nothing anymore. They're so wealthy, silver was like nothing to them, right? And we have thousands and thousands of horses and chariots and all this stuff made of gold. I mean, he's just... I just read to you a description of the New Jerusalem last week, right? So we're talking the whole nations, they will go there to worship to Jerusalem. And many nations will come and say, hey, got an idea. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Israel, and there he will teach us his ways so that we may obey him. Talk about the nations rallying to him. That's a picture of it right there, what it will look like. You know, I imagine Jesus having like the conference of all conferences. Like, I don't know exactly what that'll look like, but times, there's actually will be, I believe, set times you read about in Zechariah 14, I think it is, where the nations will be almost summoned. There'll be these times to gather together to Jerusalem to worship him. That's going to be so cool. Imagine going to this conference and it's like, who's leading worship today? I don't know, maybe one of the saints, but you got angelic choirs, you have all this kind of stuff. I mean, talk about glory, right? Who's going to be a speaker? In session one, Jesus is going to be teaching on this. Are you serious? What about session two? Jesus will be teaching on this. What about session three? Jesus will be teaching on this. And it's like, wow. Because it says, for in those days, the Lord's teaching and his word will go out from Jerusalem. You see, like Jerusalem's like this fountainhead that spiritual life gets poured into all the earth. What did God say to Abraham? I will bless you and make you a blessing to all nations. Verse 3, the Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop. Military training will come to an end. Why? Because we're all one empire. There's no one to fight against. We've won. We vanquished all of his foes. Victory has been completed. The saints prayed and loved not their lives unto death and preached the gospel to all nations. Jesus came and he got rid of all his foes. Even the devil is locked up in the abyss. Victory. There's no wars. You want to know why? Because all the enemies are gone. Jesus is reigning. And military training, I already said that. Verse 4. Everyone will live quietly in their own homes, in peace and prosperity, for there will be nothing to fear. Here's one of those. I love that he says these. And he seals it at the end. The Lord Almighty has promised this. Write it down. These words are trustworthy and true. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Get these pictures. This is God's plan for eternity. And it includes the earth. And we talked about heaven. Heaven and earth will come together as one. And when his plan is completed, paradise will not only refer to the New Jerusalem, it will infer to the whole of Jesus' empire, encompassing the New Jerusalem, the earth, and the whole universe is the Lord's. Amen? And we will rule with him. We will live with him. We will eat. We will drink. We will run. We will jump. We will play. We will laugh. We'll have fun fellowship conversations, goofing off together. We'll be at Jeff and Sarah's house eating good brats. Stan will bring to us. Just joking. I mean, that kind of stuff, it will go forever. The good, clean fun that we enjoy now is going to continue forever and ever. This is eternity. So this is the picture that Jesus wants. This is what he has in his mind when he thinks about eternity with you. Think about this. You know, husband and wife. You know what we do a lot of times, husbands and wives? We like to sit down and we like to dream about our future together. We don't dream about our future apart. We dream about our future together. Yeah? We're going to be like this and we're going to do this and we have our dreams. Can I tell you something? That marriage is a picture of the relationship between Jesus and his bride. And you know what Jesus wants to do with you and me, the whole body of Christ? He wants to sit down with us and have conversations where we read. He gave us these descriptions for a reason in the Bible. And where we dream together about our future together with him. Because it's real. It will happen. It's why I keep saying those kind of statements. And this fills us with hope. That's why we don't get discouraged like in here when great tribulation is happening and the nations are in rebellion like now, right? And, you know, those who, you know, we know the end of the story. Jesus wins. We win with him, right? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm stopping. So I want to just invite you. Would you like to be a part of Jesus' empire? Would you like to be in on this? Or would you rather be in the lake of fire when this is happening? Those are the options. God loves us, right? So we all have these two choices to make. I heard Mike Bickle say this, you know, the most important choice that we have to make in life, okay? Life is all about this. We have to make the choice of whether we're going to be a part of his empire or not, whether we're going to declare our allegiance to Jesus as king. That's the issue, right? And then once we make that decision, then we got to decide how intricately we want to be involved in his government. And that's about the rest of our lives. We get conformed to the nature of Jesus. We grow in obedience. We grow in meekness, right? We grow in wisdom. We grow in love. And we take on the attributes of godly leadership, okay? And we learn to walk worthy of the calling that we've received to govern.
For more information about James River Church, please visit us at jamesriverchurch.com.